Well, I've got 5 minutes and the clock is now on the go. She's watching me there. Where do you start in 5 minutes talking about a call? I mean, this will be a first for me. So I started to think about it and I saw it like a thread going through my life. So I'm going to go right back to when I was a young girl, about 10, because I think that's really where it started for me anyway, consciously in my own mind. Up there at Gracemount, in the school hall, a band of folk meeting, and there I heard the gospel, and that night I put my trust in Christ as a 10-year-old girl. It was just as simple as that, and yet as profound as that. And I really do feel that that's where the call of God, although I might not have called it then, I was aware of something shifting, something moving within me. And so from there, I do remember a love of God's word. I had that, a love of God's word. And there was also something about teaching I was aware of then. In fact, I had a wee Sunday school in my back garden. I was about 10. I just copied what my Sunday school teacher did and got some of my friends around. So anyway, that's never really left me. I'm jumping on quite a bit now through church and Sunday school and youth fellowship and things. And then years later, I get married and we move, Alan and I, my husband, to Berwick upon Tweed, where Alan was studying at Lebanon Bible College. And there was something there shifting again. I did have the opportunity there, if I'd wanted it, to do the studying. But I felt for me, it was not the time. Whether that was right or not, I chose not to do that. I think it was the right thing. But I did go into teaching. And again, I'm jumping forward. I've not long retired after 30 years of teaching, full time anyway. And we moved back to Edinburgh. From Berwick, we were up to Fife, and then we're back full circle, back in Edinburgh, and we've been back about 10 years. And we felt, we prayed about this, and we felt to go up to Gracemount Church, back where it all really started for me as a young girl. And I do believe God's hand was in that, because we prayed about that. We're back in the same hall, and nothing's really changed much in all these years, because I'm looking at these climbing bars, and I'm thinking, yep, I was up then. Now, the last 3 or 4 years, there's something started to shift again and move in me. I'm reading a book just now by Agnes Sanford, and she talks about a move of the Spirit and something shifting within us. And this can happen all the time throughout our lives when the Holy Spirit is moving and shifting within us. And I felt again that move of the Spirit within me and God calling me. And I was encouraged by a lady up at Gracemount Church to go to the Church of Scotland Vocations Conference. Something quite amazing had happened, if I can just share this quickly, okay? Something quite amazing had happened. there I was, I'd loved God's word, and I used to write out these, what I'll call sermons, in these notebooks. I had loads of them. And I got to a moment, and I said, Lord, I'm not writing anymore because I'm frustrated. I have nowhere to put this, and I was up to here. So I went to church that morning, sat next to this lady, and I didn't mean to tell her this, but I ended up telling her this because she'd been preaching and I'd been encouraging her what a good word it was. And she just turned to me and she said, well, we've nobody to preach in a fortnight. She says, you can do that. And the door just went like that, and it just opened. It was as instant as that, and I knew God was in that. So she encouraged me to go to the vocations conference, which I did. And here's how I sense God's call in two ways. It was a young minister speaking, and he talked about a growing internal conviction that would be within you and confirmations that would be along the way. And this had been happening to me gradually. Again, the Spirit was on the move. And initially, God was showing me through his word out of Nehemiah. And it was all about Ezra opening the book and giving people understanding of the word of God, which is where my heart was, a real love for that. And just with interacting with other people, that was being confirmed, just in conversations and other things that were going on. But the second thing he mentioned was there would be a growing external affirmation. So other people would be involved, and other people were encouraging me to go further and to explore. And sometimes, is it not true, others can see clearly what is hidden more than what we can see ourselves. And that's why we need other people. Just as Samuel needed Eli, he didn't really hear, know who that was calling him. And so God puts other people in our path, and they give us opportunities, just as that lady did, give me that to preach. And so, bring us right up to date. I applied for training with the Church of Scotland, and I've just completed the first year of the ordained local ministry training. We're waiting on the exam results, holding our breath here. And I had a great time of learning from others, fellowship, and my involvement in the church where my placement was. And I just want to finish with something that really stuck with me from that vocations conference. And here's what that minister said, and this is what God had been speaking to me about. To trust the process that follows. Trust the process. Have the confidence that God will reveal each step of the way. And for me, that means keeping in step with him and trusting him. Just in the moment where I am. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Kay. And over to Kirsty.
Definitely should have written this out, I think. Good evening. Just a quick introduction. So I'm Kirsty Forsyth. I go to Liberton Northfield Church. And I'm currently a paramedic, but only for the next few months. So I was brought up in the Church of Scotland, and as I reflect on that, how blessed I am that I... sorry.
You can do it.
Yes. I never had to go looking for God, because he was always there. And, you know, my mum and dad brought me into the church, so... I never went looking for God. I always understood that he loved me and cared about me. And that's such a blessing when you compare that to other people. But and I made a commitment, and that was a real commitment when I was a teenager, after a conversation with my mum when she tried to explain the Holy Trinity to me. God bless her. She still, and you know, my mum prayed for me a long time. Because I hit my teenage years and the world seemed to offer a lot more interesting and tempting, and I just went off and did my own thing for quite a long time. And then in the process, I was telling Fiona Devoy about this, so in the process, I'm going to skip sort of 20 years, so I've been away from church a long time. I've got the job that I want, I've got the life that I think I want, I'm living back in Edinburgh, and everything on the outside looks like it's okay. I think there's only one person here, Mr. Ward, knows me before I started going back to church. And on the outside, I would look like I had everything that I wanted. But inside, I can only describe it as what it says in the Bible about a hardening of the heart. December, New Year. I don't really like New Year. So I'm in my kitchen by myself. I've broken up with another boyfriend. You know, just all these things come together. New Year, you sort of look at your life. And I said to God, I was speaking to God, and I said, I don't know what's best for me, but I know that you do. And I knew that from, you know, from my time in the church and things like that, that God knows what's best for us. In all honesty, I thought I would get a new boyfriend. Genuinely, I thought, right, you know, I'm thinking, right, okay, I've not picked the right ones. It'll be a new boyfriend. So I am currently serving my notice, and I've been accepted to become a deacon in the Church of Scotland. So this is this is not where I thought I would be at all, but very similar to Kay, trusting in the process. And I've been so fortunate that people have spoken to my situation with scripture, people from different, like people that I've met as a paramedic and lots of different people. So from Philippians, be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So I don't know what's best for me, that's obvious. But God does. And I would just like to just thank him for that. And just to thank him, I had a lovely time at Liberton on placement recently. And the people that have spoken to my situation, not people that I would expect, not people that have sort of came full circle, people I've met as paramedics or, you know, Colin's known me for a long time, and just people come back in and God speaks through these people to give you the word that he knows that you need. And it might not be what you want to hear or might not be what you want to expect, but he's just given me so much more than I thought it would be. So.
That was awesome.
Sorry, we should have tissues in the aisles for everyone here. And next up, we have Charlie.
So the call of God started on my life when I was in first year of high school, I think. I wasn't a Christian at the time, but I really felt that God had put people in my life that were going to shape the way I was going to live. So when I was in first year, I met Andy Chittick, most of you all know him, and he came into my school to invite me to this thing called Young Life Club. I'm like, what is that? So I go along and I had the best night of my week at school and stuff, because all my friends were going out drinking and that, and they were like, you want to come? I'm like, nah, drinking's not for me. And then got to the stage where they were sharing the gospel, and I'm like, I've never heard this before. It sounds really fun. Like, I'd love to get to know it better. So I started to investigate it more and see what it was like, and then decided that at that time it wasn't for me, but I'd still go along because I enjoyed seeing Andy and seeing so many other people. And then I think it was the summer of 2012, I went away to Wales for a week, and that week I became a Christian. It was the most random experience of my life. Like, I never planned it when I went. And then I come back, I'm like, oh, what do I do now? So I go back into school and I'm telling my friends about all this Christian stuff. And they're like, nah, it's not for us, not for us. So I'm like, okay. So then I go to Andy, I'm like, right, Andy, I don't think it's for me anymore because my friends are saying it's not for them. So what do I do? And he gave me the verse from that's later on. Why am I saying that now? So fast forward, how many years? Wait, 1 year actually. I think my faith properly got cemented in 2013 when I got baptized. I think that was a public, like, my family weren't sure if I was a proper Christian, or I don't know if you can be a proper Christian, but they were a bit unsure of what it meant to me, so that's why I decided to get baptized, to like show them that my faith was my own and it wasn't like someone that had been forced on me. And then from then I got into like leading kids to Christ, which is the biggest call of God on my life. Like, I can see that I've started a process with a kid and they're like, I want to follow Jesus. And that's just like something that I can see that God's put that call in my life, that I'm in ministry for a reason, even when I feel like a reason that isn't of God. Like, it is what God wants me to be doing. And I think to go back, like, so I started doing ministry in 2015, and at the end of 2015, I had a really rocky patch in my faith, where I pretty much walked away from God because, like, it's just stuff was going really bad, and I was like, nah, this isn't for me anymore. Like, ministry's going horrible. My life sucks. So then I decided that I was gonna open my Bible and see what God had said about my life and stuff. So randomly opened to Jeremiah, and I was looking through, and then I got to the verse in Jeremiah 29. I'll just read it here. 1 second. It says, Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And I read that, and I burst into tears. Like, I'm not a crier, so it must have taken a lot for that. And I was like, well, maybe God wants me to be the ministry even when I don't want to be doing it. So I think that would be like the real sense of God's call on me, is that I'm in ministry for a reason, even when it's going rough. So that's me.
Next up, we have Amarata, a well-kent face.
There we go.
actually, for whom don't know me, okay, I'm Irata. I'm from Iran, Middle East, and I just 3 years ago became a believer, not like you from the childhood growing in the church. I had a background from Muslim. But I will just share with you what happened to me, because suddenly I just found myself as who has all the authority of the word, and he shouldn't, you know, rely on anything. Actually, when John asked me to talk about today, talk about these things today, I just said that it's really good to share my testimony, but as soon as he told me that you have to share it in 5 minutes, I just changed my face that, you know, with my poor language, what you're expecting from me, John, in 5 minutes. But, you know, I decided to share some important change in my life with you. Actually, I was a really selfish person before. And when I was back in Iran, and strongly believed that I am totally in control of my life. However, a few things happened in my life, and I just realized that I cannot do anything. I have no financial problem. I have no health problem, but still I cannot do this, solve this problem. What's the issue? What's the problem, main problem? I was feeling so empty and wondering whether there is any God and what's going on, happen, because it was really difficult time for me. During that difficult time, I get the chance to meet some Christian people in Iran, which their belief just about God was different from what I thought before. I realized that God loves me and always beside me, and this has made me feel him in my life. I understand that he would never punish me, because I thought that before, because of my sins and what I did before, he is trying to punish me and just tell me, okay, go and put your walk in a good path. But which every time I just turn back to him. During that difficult time, as I told you, I just met some Christian people, and they told me. I realized God loved me, and he will never punish me, and he will love me unconditionally and always want to be the best for me in beside me. To be honest with you, when I just thought about this, I just realized that, you know, this is actually not a good thing, that whenever you are in a hard situation to go and seek God ask God, where are you, and ask for help. So, actually, I can say that it has good side as well. I can say that because of that bad situation, I realized God. So, it just helped me to find God. Believing that God is with me during the struggle and knowing that there is always a reason behind every challenge in my life helped me to nurture my soul and faith. Beside that, evangelizing people, I get a chance to evangelize people when I was in a really bad situation. And seeing that, okay, with my words through God, people became believer and know God. It gave me more strength and more assurance about God is real. Jesus taught me to remove fear from my life. And I know most of you know the meaning of fear, which is false evidence appear real. So with Jesus, I can just get away from any fear in my life. Now I have found my inner peace and can face any challenge with a smile, as Jesus is always looking after me and beside me. Lord, provide me more than I could ever have imagined. He has surrounded me with people who always look out for me. He has given me family and friends in Liberton Kirk who supported me during my really, really bad situation. My family in Christ lift me up in ways that keep my eyes focused on God and make my spirit soar. They showed me that we are all members of one family, and Lord is our Father. I might have lost lots of material things during this transformation, but I had found my God and faith, which is worthless. Thank you. Thank you.
Should have changed the order so I wasn't next. So really my life, I can sort of pinpoint my faith to certain key times in my life. The big change, I became a Christian when I was 8 or 9. When I was 12, I was sitting in my dad's car waiting to go to a church event. And I sat there and I was reading this little tract that had something to do with hell. And I just, I don't know. And I just thought to myself, nope, don't want that. And I really just committed fully. I knew it was for me. There was no doubt in my mind, just sitting waiting on my dad turning up in the car. And then sort of from there, I think my faith, I've always had my faith. There was times sort of in my teens that it maybe wasn't as strong as it should have been. But when I finished uni, I started my own business. It's what I'd always wanted to do. And I knew that's what God wanted me to do. And then when we moved here, I'd been feeling for a while when I was at uni, I'd really wanted to, because I'd been baptized when I was like 12 or 13, and I'd done it because I knew my faith was real, but mainly because my friends were doing it too. And when we got here and Ek got baptized, I wanted to reaffirm my faith and reaffirm my baptism. And so I did. And from then, things have totally taken a path I never would have guessed. Like, it wasn't, you know, I knew since I was 14 I was going to run my own business. I didn't see what was coming sort of as far as my faith was concerned. And I'd always been thinking to myself, you know, like, I need to have, everybody talks about business plans and 5-year plans and all that sort of stuff. And so the business is going and, you know, we're good. We're making money and printing T-shirts and all that sort of stuff. And really, I keep hearing this thing about having a 5-year plan. And for the business, it's never seemed that important. And for me, for a while, I was driving to work and I was always just thinking to myself, how can I serve God more? Like, I really want to serve the church, but how can I do that when I'm running my own business? And then I was at this event in Lone Head, and somebody stood up the front and said, oh, by, you know, such and such a time, we're going to lose the majority of ministers in the Church of Scotland. And to myself, I thought, I could maybe do that. I never thought anything else of it. So the moral of my story is, just be careful what you maybe have a conversation with yourself, because somebody's listening. And eventually, sort of through other things that were happening, you know, like John had me on in one of his huddles, and we were doing the discipleship for training for eldership and all that kind of stuff. And it's really changed my life. And we were having a conversation in the cafe one night, John and I, and he was like, have you ever thought about becoming a minister? And I was like, well, actually. And John was quite surprised. He was like, really? And because I thought he was expecting a bit of resistance there, me being like, well, no, I don't. But no, I was like, well, actually, yes, I have. And so I ended up talking to Maggie Lane, and she was just like, you know, if you're going to do it before you have a family or decide to start a family, and just go for it. Keep pushing doors. And so I have, and every door that I push just opens. And Kay, I'm at the same point as Kay. I've just finished my first year studying to be an ordained local minister. And it's just, I couldn't have planned it. You know, I want to sit and focus on having a 5-year plan for my business. But, you know, I know I don't need to worry about it because that's fine. That's where God wants it to be. My 5-year plan now is really just concentrating on training and all that sort of stuff. And really for me, it sort of comes down to why I want to do this. Is when I was sort of helping out at Grace Mount Church, sort of just when Dougie was starting out and helping with the singing or the preaching and all that sort of stuff. And I just want to be in a church and be the cheerleader for whatever sort of activity needs somebody to just be like, "Whoa, let's do this," and just really be God's presence and enthusiasm and excitement and I don't know anything else that a cheer squad could do, although without the outfit. I would take the pom-poms and really just be the cheerleader for anything, for God just working in Edinburgh. Because that just gets me really excited to see how the churches are coming together, to see God moving, to see people just coming along and, you know, getting baptized or, you know, just enjoying singing praise and worship songs and doing all that sort of stuff. I love being able to see God working through others. And if I can help that happen, then, you know, that's what God wants me to do. And it's as simple as that. So, you know, I may be the Church of Scotland's first cheerleader. So who knows? Anyway, so... Yeah, I know. There's that conversation point that I really need to watch. So that's me. And anyway. Moving swiftly on, we've saved the best for last. We've got Carol. So I just specifically, just for you, want you to talk about you first. And then I want to ask you a question about Callum, okay?
Yeah, sure. On you go. Hi. Well, much like some of the other guys here, I was baptised as a baby. I always had a belief in God, but I was rebellious. I enjoyed life, and I did enjoy life to the full, I've got to say. I was widowed in 2010. But throughout my life, I always felt a pull occasionally every now and again, and I would go to a church. Wherever I was, I would go to a church. I now realise it was God telling me to get my backside in the church. So that's where I went. I turned up at Liberty Kirk in 2010 after being widowed. Quite distraught because I didn't know if my husband had asked for forgiveness before he died. I eventually got involved with Alpha here. I used to come here hungover, by the way, and sit in the back, so nobody could see I was hungover, right? I eventually joined an Alpha course, which totally changed my life, absolutely changed my life. I went to Heart and Soul. Now, I've got to say, John's my inspiration. I just think John is a fantastic minister. He brought the Bible to life for me, like nobody else has ever done. He just made it so exciting, and John is my inspiration. So I met the Heart and Soul. I was helping David McNeish at the time. And this young girl came in. And she looked really upset. So she left. And I said to John, I think she was crying. I said, so go and get her. Now, I'm sure you all know Heart and Soul. You're like, there's no way I'm going to find her. So I went looking for her, not expecting to find her. And I was told to turn round. And I turned round, and there she was. Now, most people would say, no, don't be so silly, really, but I didn't have as strong a faith then. That gave me an unbelievable faith. I went and talked to that girl. We sat for a long time behind the tents because there was no seating, and we chatted, and she'd had a really tough life. She'd lost a lot of people that were really close to her, and she'd walked away from her faith. She was brought up a Roman Catholic, and she thought because she was brought up Roman Catholic, that's where she had to go. So we had a discussion about whether that's what she had to do. And I told her, go and visit other churches, find something that suits you, because that's what I did. And Liberty and Kirk will always be my home. So anyway, the girl put a thing in the paper, as I'm sure most of you have already known, and I'm not going to go into that part anyway. But that really sort of brought it home for me. And I've always sort of felt a pull from God but I've always ignored it. I wasn't brought up like really religious. My mum says she doesn't like all the godly stuff, right? So I wasn't really brought up in that. But I really did feel this pull. But I didn't say anything because I was quite embarrassed, so I just shut my face. And I spoke to John one day, and I'd asked him if he could show me how to write sermons, and he did. And my faith just got stronger and stronger. I actually once said to John, I'll never, ever trust another man. But I was wrong, because I trust God wholeheartedly, 100% I trust God. So I'm now, I thought the pull that I was getting from God, I could go and do my care stuff, and I started doing a social work degree. And I thought, I can serve God by working in the community. I'm very strong in the community. By working in the community and showing my faith to people in the community. So that's what I've done. I went and done, I started my social work degree. I should be in my final year, but I'm not. I am now in my discernment process. God works. So I've got my national assessment Monday, Tuesday, tomorrow. Hence why I'm nervous. So I've got my national assessment Monday, Tuesday, and through the last year, I have learned so much about myself, so much about God. I packed my job in. I've just, my life completely changed. I packed my job in, I packed my business in. So I'm now a full-time theology student on the breadline, and my son and I have struggled financially, unbelievably struggled. But Callum will tell you, God has always provided for us. We've had days where we didn't know we were going to eat, and we have. We have never, ever gone hungry. God has always provided. And Callum came to me. I was actually doing, Callum has this habit when I'm doing an essay, Callum will come and talk to me when I'm trying to concentrate on an essay. So, but he's autistic and he doesn't really understand. So anyway, he came to me and he says, Mum, I think I believe in God now. I went, really? Oh, that's great. But it really took me aback. And I says, that's really good. I says, well, people that believe in God get baptised. And I told him all about baptism, about what it says in the Bible and whatever. And I said, would you like to do that? He went, yeah, I want to do that. I phoned everybody. I actually phoned everybody. My son wants to get baptised. I was ecstatic. So, as you all know, Callum's getting baptised today, and I'm so proud of him for doing this. So, God has just took us the last year in a really, really crazy roller coaster of a ride. My discernment, I found really tough. I was brought up by a Roman Catholic mother. My dad was a Baptist, although didn't really practice, but my faith was all over the place. I didn't know what was Church of Scotland, what was Roman Catholic, and whatever. So I had to really unpick my faith, and I found it really tough. I found it really emotional, I found it really lonely, and I found it extremely tough. But I come out the other end. And I've learned from other people at my university who are now, they're just going into discernment. It just seems to be something that you do when you go into discernment. It just, you've got to do that yourself, and you've got to do it yourself. Although there's always people in the background that are there for you. And I think I'm looking forward to the rest of what's going on, because my call is very much, I used to have dreams about opening a community centre for non-denominational worship. And I just thought it was crazy. And when I first got the call, I thought, no danger, there's no way God's wanting me. And then I spoke to John, I spoke to Cammy McKenzie, I spoke to just about everybody, and I'm still like, no, God does not want me to do this. But here I am. God does want me to do this. And I hope by next week, I'll be further down the road to do what God wants me to do. Thanks for listening.
So, do you want to tell us how, you've sort of just touched on it, but would you like to tell us a little bit more about how Callum came to deciding that he was wanting to be baptised?
Yeah. Well, Callum's seen how strong my faith got over the years. Since my husband died, it is just Callum and I in the house. And he's seen how strong my faith's got. I talk to God constantly. I mean, I don't know, sometimes I think somebody's going to put me in the royal head. I really do, because I just am constantly saying, thank you, God, can we do this and whatever. Callum's just like, Mum. But yeah, so he's seen how strong my faith's got. He's seen the difference it's made in our lives. And as I said, we've really, really struggled over the last year financially. And we had a conversation a while ago, and I said to him, We didn't know if we were going to eat that day, and it was getting pretty late on in the day, and I thought, oh, goodness. And Callum actually said to me, God provides for us all the time, Mum. He doesn't leave us hungry. And I thought, you know, he's actually right. And I've told him that so many times, and he was right. And I think I've got this thing that if you see someone who is a truly faithful person and is truly in God, as John is and Lindsay are, if you see that, it becomes infectious. And I think my faith has become infectious for my son. And I couldn't be prouder. I've got to say, I couldn't be prouder.
Thanks very much. So, right, take a second just to breathe. And then what we're going to do now is we're going to sing another song. So if the praise band would like to come up. And then we'll